Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Braves tonight at Truist Park against the Toronto Blue Jays. Tuki Toussaint gets the start tonight. See if Nick Markakis gets put into the starting lineup. More on that in a moment here. Opt-outs are us. 4 o'clock deadline for the NFL for opt-outs. We'll see if ESPN was tweeting out saying, oh, there are going to be a number of stars that could opt out. We'll see if that's true. So far, 60 players have opted out, but not so much, you know, any massive stars, at least not at the moment. Do a little rapid fire. Go around the room here with you and Orin and Abe. Hugh, I mentioned Nick Markakis here. He's returning to the team, and Brian Snicker said something about how he hits 280 falling out of the tub or something like that. My question to you about Nick Markakis as he rejoins the club, he pinch hit last night. Are you expecting a lot or a little from Nick Markakis?
John, I think it's not fair to expect him to come in on his white steed. You know, he's been kind of chilling at home for a little while, so I'm not expecting too much from him, but whatever I get from him is going to be pleasant. So I'm not expecting a whole lot.
Orin, are you expecting a lot or a little in terms of Nick Markakis' ability to, you know, maybe be a starter again full-time and to impact this team?
He can impact the team with his glove defensively. His bat's been a little iffy the last couple of years. He's a real kind of streaky guy, so maybe he can get a hot streak and kind of ride it out. But the last few years have been kind of categorized with him being hot and then him being cold for long periods of time. But the glove is an immediate help.
Abe, a lot or a little from Nick Markakis?
I would say a little, but I think a little is what's needed. I don't think we need a massive overhaul from him. I think just whatever we can get to boost some of the other – you know, aspects of the team. So I think a little, but I think I'm okay with that.
So, again, Braves and Blue Jays, that's one headline today. Another headline, the NFL opting out at 4 o'clock. The other headline will be the PGA Championship, first major we've had in golf in over a year. Tiger Woods playing. They're in San Francisco playing for this major title, and they begin today. And coming up in this hour, we'll talk to Chad Millman of the Action Network, ask him about what he thinks about the odds of Tiger winning this thing. So, Hugh Douglas, Tiger hasn't played much. He played the Memorial, played in that event with Tom Brady. That's about it. But he's in a major, and he is, 14 majors. He is that guy. Do you think that Tiger has any chance to win?
Nope. You want me to elaborate on that?
Right to the point. No, you don't have to if you don't want to.
No, I'm just saying nope. You're talking about a layoff, you know, and I don't know what Tiger's been doing. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to tune in because it's Tiger. I mean, he has a chance, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be some lofty expectations for him this weekend. Be nice to see him, but no, I don't think he's going to win.
All right, so the Harding Club in San Francisco is still just after 5 in the morning out there, so they'll be teeing off later today. I believe that he's in an early tee time today, which would be 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. If you happen to have ESPN Plus, or if you want to pay for it, to watch Tiger play golf today, he tees off at 11:30 in a power group. I know he's got Rory in the group and Koepka. I'm trying to think of remember who, but it's a power group anyway. Orin, Tiger's in the PGA. Does he have any chance to win?
Yes.
You care to elaborate on that there?
Yes. He has a chance to. He's out there playing. Anytime Tiger steps on the course, he's got a chance to win.
There's a lot of people that think that, though. I mean, he'll tee it up. Anytime Tiger puts that ball on that peg.
Tiger Woods. I mean, I hope he does. I hope he does extremely well, but I don't think it's going to happen.
That's the respect he deserves, though, I think, just based on what he's done in his career. I think at this point, whether before he tees off or it maybe goes awry, you can say that Tiger has a reasonable shot of winning any tournament just because he's Tiger. And
you know, because you know, even the biggest stars in the game. I mean, Abe, the Koepkas, and John Rahm and Rory McIlroy, the guys that are like 1, 2, 3, DeChambeau, you know, top five guys in the world. Whenever Tiger comes out of that clubhouse and walks to the practice tee, they're all looking over their shoulder, going, "Up, oh, here he is." Does Tiger have a chance to win, Abe?
Yeah, I'm kind of in line with Orin here. You know, if he's in the field, so he's got a chance to win. Do I expect it? Probably not. You know, he's a guy that nowadays he's got to be in that top like 5 or 6 day one. Like he doesn't make these big charges on Saturday anymore. So he's got to put together 4 good rounds. It's just not easy to do. So yeah, he's got a chance, but expectations are low for me.
It's a morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. We're doing a little rapid fire, some of the big headlines this week. Hugh, we had a huge headline yesterday. The Big Ten released its schedule for the year. 10 games. It's going to start September the 3rd, 4 weeks from today. First game, Ohio State against Illinois in Champaign. We're waiting now to see what the ACC does. Will Georgia Tech still open against Clemson? What the SEC does? Will Georgia still play Alabama in that first game for the conference, which was the original schedule? I'm thinking maybe not. Look, they're going to change things around. We saw the Big Ten take the Ohio State-Michigan game, move it to the middle of the year, to an October 24th Week 8 game, and not to the end of the year. Ohio State will now play Iowa to end the year. So I'm curious, Hugh, if you think about the SEC changing the order around because they're going to add 2 additional games, who do you think Georgia's going to open with if it's in this conference-only schedule? Do you think it'll still be Alabama? Will it be a showdown with Florida, or will they put them with somebody like Arkansas or Vanderbilt?
I think it'll be a cupcake. No disrespect to anybody who went to Arkansas or Vanderbilt, but I think that when you look at the Big Ten schedule and when it came out yesterday, it was real friendly. You know, you open it up with it. Well, Illinois, and then you got Rutgers, and then I think it's Maryland or something like that. That's a pretty friendly schedule. I would think that, you know, in the SEC, it'll probably be the same way. You don't want to open up with a world beater at the beginning of the season. That's my personal opinion about that. I don't think it's going to be a world beater. I think it's going to be somebody that you can handle a little bit better. I don't think it's going to be Alabama out the gate.
All right, Orin, you're our resident Bulldog on the show here. Who does Georgia open with? If you were just taking a guess here, they're still going to play Alabama early? They're going to open with a game like Georgia-Florida, or they play a cupcake, as you said, in Arkansas-Vanderbilt?
I think it's going to be the lower-end SEC team. I'm looking at the Big Ten September 26th schedule. That's the first week the SEC and the Pac-12 kickoff. And it looks like the highest-profile matchup that week is a Michigan State at Penn State matchup. Everything else is sort of blah, so, I mean – you can go and have them
that's
play.
That's kind of blah, no offense. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think Michigan
State. You better
State
watch out. Mike Conti might be listening, talking about Penn State.
No. I'm just thinking that Michigan State's not going to be no good.
Yeah, that can be sort of a one-sided affair. And
yeah. If
that's the highest profile game you have on the Big Ten slate for that week, you can expect to see Georgia open up against, like they normally do, a conference slate with either a Vanderbilt or a South Carolina. I think it's going to be one of those two.
That'd be more traditional for Georgia, that's for sure. Abe, you're the resident Florida fan. Do you want to see Georgia, Florida right out the gate? Or are you thinking that they'll mix and match, and who does Georgia open with?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Orin here. I think they open. First off, I think they're going to adjust the schedule as you're moving towards. But I also think they're going to do an Eastern Conference foe, as many Eastern Conference foes early, or Eastern Division, whatever you want to call them. I think they're going to try and line those up before too many cross-conference games or cross-divisional games. Try and make sure you get those in.
There is a site called Eater.com, and they run a bunch of stuff here and link to a lot of things. And here there was a state-by-state thing of the best burger in every state, okay? And they voted that the best burger in Georgia, and I'm not arguing this because I've never actually had one of their burgers, but they voted for the best burger in Georgia and said Vortex in Atlanta is the best burger in Georgia. And if that's what they say, that's fine. That's not my question to you. Maybe you've eaten at Vortex. I don't know if any of you have. I haven't. What, in your estimation, is the best burger in Georgia? And maybe it is Vortex. I don't know. Hugh, if I ask you the best burger in Georgia, what do you say?
I haven't had a Vortex burger. I want to say that. But I've heard a lot of people talk about them. As a matter of fact, we had a segment on here a couple months ago where people gave us some of the burgers that we should try. They recommended us some burgers. But I'm going to say for mine, because of the way that they taste and there's so many different burgers that you can get that taste good, I'm going to say Grindhouse. And I'm not just saying that because it's a shameless plug and we know the people from Grindhouse. They got some really good burgers. The turkey burgers over there are really, really good. So I'm going to say Grindhouse.
Oren, what's your opinion of the best burger in Georgia?
We give love to the east side here, man. Two spots. One, close to where I live, Tucker Meat Market. It's a butcher shop slash eatery. They pack them big. They pack them fat. And you can get stuff like brisket. They have like a bacon burger with bacon ground into it, like a bacon cheat. Like, it's ridiculous. And also, say on the east side, Burger Queen over there off Covington Highway. Burger Queen does it right over there, too.
I didn't know Burger Queen was still around.
Like it might sound like it might be the one that I need to go see.
Yeah, Hugh.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was Burger. I thought Burger Queen was gone, but apparently it's not. Abe, best burger.
Best burger in the state of Georgia is wherever I get my next one from. Always. Wherever my next burger is the best burger. Like, no burger's been so good that it, like, completely obliterates the other burgers. It sticks out in my head.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Now I'm hungry and I want a burger. So the next one I get will be the best one, and then after that will be next best one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Grindhouse, the best I've had. I mean, Johnny and the guys at Grindhouse make the one on Piedmont in Atlanta, the one up in Athens. That Grindhouse, they make a serious. Whew. There's also this little divey joint in downtown Acworth called Nibbles Cafe, and the old guy in there has a flat top that's 100 years old, and it just has a
Burger
special
Queen sound like that might be a spot to hit.
I didn't know Burger Queen was still around. Jason Longshore,
free spot to go eat at. Now I'm mad at myself.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite. Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, going to join us. When are we going to see him again? When are we going to see the new coach and the new players? All ahead on The Morning Show with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Minute. Remainder of the year, last time they won a game at all, heck, they haven't even scored in 300,000 minutes or whatever it is. And the next time they play a game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they will have a bunch of new players and a new head coach and all that kind of stuff. It'll be like, a new season or something. Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, joins us this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Morning to you, Jason.
Good morning, everybody.
So how you been, man? Haven't talked to you in a little while. So how you hanging out?
Doing well. We've got the Atlanta United 2 games going now. We had a game last night, so we're getting weekly matches with those at the moment, the way the schedule's working out. So getting to see a few games in person, which is kind of weird with nobody in the stands and hearing everything from the field, but feels kind of close to normal at least.
Yeah, we're trying to get there. We're trying to get there.
Where do we stand on the MLS coming out with a schedule so we know when Atlanta United is going to play again?
It's not easy for MLS at this point, and I'm sure the Major League Baseball situation has maybe made MLS go back and check and double check and triple check protocols and make sure you can set up situations that will at their best try to eliminate these situations that we've seen with the Marlins and the Cardinals. You also have the complications with three Canadian teams, and how do you deal with three teams finding a place to play? It sounds like in the initial phase of MLS's return to playing in home markets, the Canadian teams will only play one another for a few weeks, trying to buy some time and see if the policy about cross-border travel and mandatory quarantines change. Don't know if that will, and then that means Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver are going to have to find places to base in the United States to play out of schedule. So there's a lot of different complications going on here. You also have to make up games for Dallas and Nashville, and there's reports that that could start as soon as next week, where they get the three games that they didn't play in the MLS's back tournament that counted towards regular season. They play one another for those. It is trying to piece together a schedule and some form of a competitive format that makes a little bit of sense to then get to a playoff and then get to a champion.
You know, with all that being said, Eric Torres, he's a big acquirement acquired by Atlanta United. Does he come in and immediately become a starter?
I think once he's fit, he does. I mean, he's a guy who has scored double-digit goals in his two full MLS seasons. Now, he struggled when he's went back to play in Liga MX. He came up through the Chivas de Guadalajara system, then came over to Chivas USA when they were operating a club in Major League Soccer and did really well. Then he went to the Houston Dynamo. They loaned him out. It didn't really stick. He comes back to Houston and has a good year in 2017. They get a big transfer and sell him back to Mexico, and he bounces around. You know, he becomes a little bit of a journeyman in Mexico. His last club was Tijuana, and Tijuana's been through multiple managerial changes, and you know how it can go sometimes for a player who is trying to find their form, and the manager who brought them in is then let go, and then the next manager's let go, and you can't get any stability and you can't get any momentum. Kubo Torres comes here with an opportunity, once he's healthy, to be the starter while Joseph Martinez is out, and to be able to get a proven goal scorer in that situation on a free transfer, it's a good piece of business by Atlanta United.
Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst on the WaveForward.com hotline, you mentioned Atlanta United 2 is playing, and you had a chance to see them. Can you tell us and the fans, you know, are there a guy or two that's, you know, within the system, coming out of the academy, hasn't made Atlanta United 2, or a guy in Atlanta United 2 that you're now kind of the next George Bello? I mean, kind of a guy you're looking at that, you know, next year or year after is going to have a big impact on this team?
There's a number of guys coming through Atlanta United 2 right now. They're playing, on average, a lineup that is average age around 20 years old. They're playing teams that generally are at least 6, 7, sometimes 8 or 9 years older than them. And that's good experience for this young group. You know, the Atlanta United Academy started the year before the first team did. So those guys that started in the academy that were 11, 12 in that first year are now getting to the point where they're starting to get some minutes with Atlanta United too, playing in professional games. They can do that and keep their college eligibility, and it gives the club, you know, the best of both worlds. I think you look at, you know, players who are playing a lot of minutes this year. Coleman Gannon is a young player who's come through for the first time with this team. In the midfield, he's played a little bit of everywhere, to be honest. He's got a bit of a swagger to him that you don't see normally from a teenage player. Will Riley's been consistent with Atlanta United 2 for almost a full season now, playing a lot of minutes, very steady in the central midfield. I mean, they've been playing a 15-year-old in Caleb Wiley at left back, and if you just watched him play, if I just told you go watch this game, you couldn't pick out the 15-year-old. There's no way you could pick him out. He plays with a composure you're just not used to seeing from a player that young.
Jurgen Damm, you know, I've heard a lot about the last couple of weeks about his speed. Is he somebody that's looked at as a possible starter, or is he going to be like a second-half sub to bring in, you know, to like change the speed of the game a little bit?
I'm intrigued to see how he fits, because Jurgen Damm has been a player who's predominantly played as a right winger in a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 kind of shape, or even a 4-4-2. Atlanta United this season has primarily played out of a 3-4-3. It's easy to shift from a 3-4-3 to a 4-3-3. I don't know if Damm would really fit as that wing back. We haven't seen it yet, but he has some of the characteristics that could work. We just haven't seen him defend as much in that kind of role. His speed is a game-breaking element, and you want to find a way to put him in positions to succeed. The thing about Jurgen Damm that has been the question mark in his career, you know, honestly from day one, has been, can the passing, can the crossing improve? It's not where it needs to be. And can Atlanta United, who is not a typical crossing kind of team, even with Joseph Martinez in, if you think back to so many of the crosses that you would see from a Julian Gressel, for example, he wasn't putting in just aerial crosses looking for a forward to go up and get their head on it. He would make a pass from that position, and he'd get his head up. He'd cut it back on the ground to the top of the penalty area, top of the box. He'd look for that late runner. If Jurgen Damm can do more of that and less of just the traditional putting in crosses and hoping somebody gets on the end of it, if he can start to pick out those passes, he'll be a very dangerous weapon for Atlanta.
Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst. Well, they're chirping down in Orlando.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, I guess. You know, I mean, but, you know, as to whether or not this is going to really turn into a rivalry, you know, no matter what happened in this MLS's back tournament, bad for us, good for them. Fact of the matter is, until they beat us, we don't have much of a rivalry, do we? Because they're saying, oh, it's on now. I'm like, well, okay, is it?
Well, see, I've always felt like it's a rivalry because we talk about it all the time. You know, if it's not a rivalry, we're not talking about it. We're always talking about it, even when Orlando hasn't beaten Atlanta United yet. I think when that happens, and it's going to happen at some point, everybody, you know, has that happen at some point, it will be more of a rivalry. But look, this is a game that neither team likes one another. You know, they don't. There's always an extra edge to it. The fans don't like one another. I mean, it's just one of those games that has that little extra something to it. And it's always better in those situations where both teams are competitive. Orlando hasn't been competitive so far in their run in MLS until now. And the reason why they're competitive now is they've hired a great manager in Oscar Pereja. They've made some good signings. They still have some work to do to improve that roster. But this is a group led by a manager who can win in this league. He's got a supporter shield. He's got a U.S. Open Cup to his name that is not going to go away anytime soon. They finally got the right people in place to lead that group.
All right. If you say, I'm going to go with you. You're the expert.
I mean, yeah, he kind of is.
Sorry, I know you have issues with Orlando, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, when your fans are throwing, you know, water bottles at our guys and everything else, I've got to, a little bit, yeah. I mean, just a tad, you know, I mean, so, okay. Well, we got to get on our game first, but I can't worry about them. We got to worry about us.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea? You said, I know you said, and I want to go back to the kind of where I started here, Jason. You said, you know, MLS is working through a lot. I get it. But if you have to take a ballpark as to when we're going to see the team, can you give us that?
Well, it's looking like, according to reports out of the Washington Post, Stephen Goff, and reports out of The Athletic, that there will be a full round of games the weekend of August 21st. We haven't seen any rumored opponents or dates for Atlanta United yet, but other teams, there's dates leaking out that weekend. So, and it appears it's going to be six games in the first 3 weeks, so it's going to be a very busy jump back into the regular season. Teams are preparing for it, so we're just waiting on the dates to get announced.
All right, so within the next 2 weeks, we'll get a chance to see Stephen Glass in his debut, and you know, Kubo Torres and Jurgen Damm, and kind of the new look of this team. All right, well, I'm anxious to see it, and hopefully it works, because we know what happened down there in that town
bubble.
Down there in the middle of Florida did not.
The hermetically sealed bubble, yeah.
Jason, as always, do appreciate it, my friend.
You the man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You as well.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, joining us here. Tiger in the PGA, does he stand a chance to win? It was one of my rapid-fire questions. What does the expert say about whether or not people should bet on him to be there on Sunday at Harding Park in San Francisco, possibly holding up the Wanamaker Trophy? We'll see what he has to say as he joins us next on the chance that Tiger might be a factor in the first major in over a year. Chad Millman joins us around the corner after a break. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game and radio.com.
29 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Thursday 40 means Chad Millman, Action Network. If you're looking for an edge, you can download the free Action Network app in the App Store, theactionnetwork.com. Which is, I bring it up right now here, and I will in the interview. Live odds and expert analysis for every game. I have the app on my phone. I could probably just go there. That is actionnetwork.com or the App Store for Action Network. And he joins us this morning on the wayforward.com hotline. Morning to you, Chad.
Hey, guys.
How you doing today?
I feel great. We got so much going on, man. Like, look at the schedule and there's hockey, there's baseball, there's NBA, which feels like March Madness, there's NHL, there's a PGA Championship. Like, it's honestly, it feels a little bit like the Olympics, where like all of a sudden every day is just so packed that like all you're focused on is that. And even if you don't live in the bubble that is the NBA experience, if you're covering sports, then all you're doing is sort of from noon until 1 a.m. is focusing on the sports, which is great.
Chad, I'm kind of curious. We talk about the NFL opt-out at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Is the handicapper's job because of the opt-outs, is it, you know, and what we're going through with coronavirus and schedule changes and things of that nature, are future bets, you know, an almost an impossible task to make if you're a handicapper?
Yeah, a little bit. But at the end of the day, like, it really only matters on these things if it's the biggest and best players. And those are two different things, right? Like, biggest and best can mean your Tom Brady's of the world, but it can also mean your OBJ's, right? And, like, there was a story earlier last week, and earlier this week, I mean, that Odell Beckham Jr., there were rumors that he was going to opt out. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., if he opts out from the Browns, it's not going to be the end of the world for the Browns. Like, you know, they'll be able to figure out how to replace his impact in some capacity. But because he's such a well-known player, that would have an impact on how the betting public looks at the Browns. And so oddsmakers would have to adjust. But it wouldn't mean that their realistic chances on the field have changed. Whereas a guy like Tom Brady or a guy like Patrick Mahomes, if they opt out, then all of a sudden there's a tangible impact on what the on-field results are going to be. So there's two different ways to look at it. But, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
With all that being said, let's move to baseball a little bit. In the world, Mike Soroka, you know he got hurt this week. How has that affected their World Series odds?
Not very much. Like, he's an all-star pitcher and he's great, but he isn't a brand-name pitcher, right? And he isn't a guy that, like, everybody in sort of the fandom of baseball is thinking about when they think about the Braves. If this had been Freddie Freeman, then I think you're seeing a much bigger impact on World Series future odds than otherwise, because, again, those really move off of money, and they move off of liability, and they move off of what bookmakers think is going to happen. And when he gets injured, they aren't thinking to themselves, we have to protect ourselves against a flood of money coming in, or we have to downgrade the Braves because now their chances are worse and there's a bigger liability. It sort of stays where it is.
Well, that surprises me because, you know, he has a profound impact. I mean, he may not be a big name to some people, but, boy, we know how good he is. I mean, he's one of the best starters in the game, and it's a huge mountain. I mean, I love Freddie, but with the offense, you can overcome that, maybe more so than Mike Soroka being lost to this team.
Yeah, but think about it this way. Like, if the Braves were at 14-1, which is about where they were in that 10-15 range, some places a little bit higher, but not north of 20. If they're in that range and people aren't going to bet on them now because he's been injured, so they'll think those odds are not long enough. They won't think there's value. So there's not a massive reason to move them because there's not a flood of money coming in. And you're not going to make them longer because then all of a sudden, if you're thinking, okay, he's a great pitcher, but they are still a high-quality team, then you're just opening yourself up to more liability. So you've really got to respond to where you think the money is going to come and how to protect your liability in the long term.
Yeah, I get it. It's a technical issue more than anything else. All right, so let's talk about let's talk about the PGA, Tiger. And I know there's going to be a lot of money on Tiger, and we asked the question earlier about whether or not Tiger has a legitimate chance to win every time he puts the ball in the peg, and it is a major, he responds. Tell me what you think of Tiger. Tell me what you think of another guy like Brooks Koepka, who plays obviously well in majors, you know, and some of the hot guys this year that have been at the top of their game. How do you, could we see a Webb Simpson or a John Rahm? How do you handicap the PGA, and who do you like in this tournament, and what are Tiger's chances?
So there's not, like, Tiger's going to get a ton of money, but right now the guy getting all the money is Brooks Koepka, and that's because there is this narrative, like you just said, that over the last few years, and especially in the PGA, where he's won a couple in a row, like, this is the guy who shows up for majors, and this is the guy who changes his mentality, and this is the guy who, like Tiger for a long time, sort of looks at the majors and just says, I can flip a switch. And look, Harding and so the TC Harding course in San Francisco, where it's being played, is an incredibly hard course. Like, Brooks Koepka pulled up to the course the other day and said, this is a big boy course, right? And so the rough is insane. And it plays to some of his strengths. Right now, Koepka is going off about 11-1. I think Justin Thomas, obviously, who's the new number one in the world and won last week, he is currently the shortest odds. So there's a lot of conversation about those guys. The one guy who a lot of professional bettors and a lot of the wise guys are fading is Bryson DeChambeau. They just don't have any faith in sort of his ability to play this course in sort of the same way, even though he's launching bombs, the way that he's been playing the other courses, especially when people like Justin Thomas is playing so well and Brooks Koepka is coming in and sort of coming with the mentality that he's going to win at a major. Tiger is obviously a part of the conversation. I don't want to avoid the first part of the question, but he's not a part of the conversation that, like, oh my God, anyone expects him to contend. It's more like Tiger is 30-1, was placed, you know, a couple shekels on Tiger, as we've said in the past, and see how that goes.
You know, let's go to the NBA bubble a little bit. The Nets beat the Bucks on Tuesday night. They were 18-point dogs. How much did that affect your industry when they won that game?
Well, it's super fun. And not only that, that was a big day for upsets, right? The Bucks lose to the Nets, biggest upset since 1995. Obviously, that's big for the industry because it generates attention. Now, it couldn't make more money coming on the game after the fact. So anybody who was lucky enough and smart enough to bet on the Nets, which was almost nobody, you know, they cashed a nice ticket. That later that day, the Suns, as pretty heavy underdogs, beat the Clippers outright. So that was pretty exciting. So it was all around like a really big, fun day. But that, you know, what I said earlier about sort of the March Madness feeling around the NBA right now, you know, I was just looking at the calendar. I think there are games starting at 12:30 today. And the like attention being paid to that eighth spot in the Western Conference, where if teams are within four games of each other, there's sort of a couple of play-in games. Like, there's eight teams within four games of each other right now. And so it is just incredibly exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm kind of waiting for the postseason as it is to begin here, and you know, kind of work its way out. Of course, you have to understand, Chad, here in Atlanta, some of us who are Hawks fans are still not real super happy about how the NBA did this. So,
how we got kind of like left at home. Yeah. We got left at home.
I get it. I get it, and I feel bad for you guys. But then again, I don't really care because it's so fun to watch all these games. We because it's COVID and like you can't really do anything still. We put up a huge outdoor screen in my backyard with a projector that you can plug in any kind of OTT device, and so me and my younger son are watching these NBA games, like beginning at 9 o'clock outside in the dark under the stars and watching them till midnight. And it is just every night. It's just a blast. It's so much fun.
That sounds pretty cool. It really does.
Go for it, Hugh. I'll send you all the stuff I got. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I gotta get a yard first though. I don't have a yard yet. I'm working on it though. I'm working on getting a yard. But I will definitely give you a call.
All right.
Chad Millman of the Action Network. You get the app for free at the App Store for Action Network or actionnetwork.com. Can't tell you how cool a site it is. You have to check it out yourself. Go to actionnetwork.com if you want to see live odds and much more. Chad, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll be talking to you, and now next up is going to be, you know, kind of like a lot of focus is going to go to college football because we're only a month away.
Well, let's cross our fingers, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're optimistic. You know, they came out with the schedules and everything, so we shall see.
We shall see, fellas, but I hope so.
Thank you, Chad.
See ya.
Chad Millman of the Action Network. Some of the big stories, headlines of the day, and a bunch more around the corner as we work our way through what could be a news-filled Thursday on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Again, actionnetwork.com for the very latest odds. And, boy, it will be fun, Hugh, when we start talking a month from now about college football odds. That will be fun. Top of the hour and more as we continue on this Thursday with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. And, of course, worldwide at radio.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts. parts.